What am I to do? What are we to do? That's the question that's been stirring in so many hearts since the surprise of this last election and round after round of racist, sexist, public education dismantling, climate denying, GLBTQ hating, wall building appointments to this new administration. So much seems to be unraveling right now on this week when we both celebrate one of our modern-day prophets and inaugurate a president whose alignment with white supremacist groups has us reading our 20th century history books again. What can I do? What can we do? That's the question that's in my heart and mind. In recent weeks, I've attended community conversations designed to help people come together around these questions. I've sat with activists in my office who reflected with some surprise that in this most perilous of times, they have no energy to be on the streets. I've received emails from septuagenarians, that's people in their 70s, outlining their plan of action and education. And I've heard some of you share your own dis-ease with a continual call to social justice action that does not match your own temperament, and trying to figure out inside how you relate to all of it. So perhaps you too feel the weight of these times. Maybe. Perhaps your email inbox and Facebook page are filled with more opportunities for action than you could possibly attend to, and is leaving your head spinning. Anybody? Or perhaps you are in a life phase that enables you to rise to this call to action with all the energy that you have and show up again and again and again. Many of us are weighing our actions and our choices in these times. Last night I had dinner with a neighbor of mine. I live in a co-housing community and she runs a farm on our community. And we were having dinner together and she talked to me about her choice around next Saturday in the march. And she said she's choosing not to go to the march with her children because there is a meeting about the Davidson Ditch, which runs down across our property. And for her, keeping it local and being attentive to these water rights outweighed the march in Denver. And all of us are making these choices. It's a time when I might like a person like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King to come onto the scene again. I might like a clear direction offered with a faith-based perspective to keep the whole nation rooted and inspired. A prophet to tell it like it is and point the way to a brighter future. Let's take a look at the theology that Dr. King would have learned about prophecy in his day. The prophet in ancient Israel was a complex phenomenon, as seen by the words in the Bible used to describe various prophets. The primary word is nabi, and is a term most commonly translated as prophet, and it's used both to describe very different kinds of people, bands of aesthetics who danced, whipped themselves into a frenzy, and gashed themselves with knives, as well as people like the prophet Nathan, who was a rational, individualistic, apparently belonging to a house of David's court. He was kind of high up in the world. He counseled and criticized the king, but also assured King David of God's promises to secure his dynasty. Very different pictures of what prophecy could be. Prophets could be men or women. They could be from the city or countryside. They could belong to the royal court or, like Jesus, be the son of a carpenter. Nabi simply means one who is called. One who is called. But prophets were also defined by the words ruah, One who sees deeply and clearly what is needed and God's will for the world. And finally, the third term for prophet that we see used in the Bibles, Ish or Ishet Elohim, one who belongs to God by their very essence. So these terms help us understand the nature of the term prophet that would have been ringing in the ears of Dr. Martin Luther King in his day. One who is called, one who sees reality deeply, and one who by their very essence has a divine spark. And we certainly see the face of Dr. Martin Luther King in this definition. But in this age of information, this age when a cacophony of voices of both wisdom and idiocy bombard us through social media, it might be a foolish dream to expect a lone national prophetic voice to arise from this din, as it has in the past. In fact, UU theologian Rebecca Parker debunks the myth of the lone prophet. She writes, "Behind the lone prophet who speaks up, there is a group, and it's always a mistake to imagine lone prophets are really alone. We should think of Jesus, or Martin Luther King, I might add, in this way as well. She says it is a mistake to think of him as an isolated, heroic individual. It is better to see him as the crest of a wave. Imagine that, the crest of a wave, the sparkling foam breaking brightly from the force of a whole ocean moving and swelling up from underneath." And she continues that, "I sense among Unitarian Universalists these days a deep desire to affirm that ocean that is within and underneath these voices." So we can look at this understanding of prophecy to help us understand and find our own prophetic voice and our own prophetic action as part of being the crest of a wave, a new wave that is needed now. So from our theology, we can see that sense of calling, each of us does have a unique calling. It's based on our profound respect for our individual spiritual journeys. And each of us does have a vision to offer based on the free and responsible truth, search for truth and meaning. And each of us does contain a spark of the divine based on our understanding of the inherent worth and dignity of all people. These are central to our UU principles and central to prophecy. Now, that's what Martin Luther King was saying in that passage that we heard from his voice. And he said this in one of his last sermons, which was called The Drum Major Instinct. It was probably, I think, his second to last sermon in 1968. And the drum major instinct, he said, was sort of this human nature capacity to want to be the drum major, to want to be the person out in front, leading people on, and the attention that our own little bodies kind of like. But what he was trying to say there was that we can't all be the drum major, and the drum major gone too far becomes an abuse of power. And I think in his knowing, he knew. He knew how close he was to his death. He'd gotten threats. He knew that as he started talking about poverty and racism and militarism, that he was becoming more and more of a threat. In his knowing that he would not be that leader, his inspiration to people was to say, "You don't have to be that person. We don't all have to be that person, and we all shouldn't be that person. Because our service, our following our own calling to service, is going to be the best thing that we can offer the world." Now, in a community, in the beloved community that Martin Luther King envisioned for us, all kinds of service, all kinds of greatness are needed to survive. And now is not the time to narrow our vision of what is needed. There is way too much confusion going on here. Inasmuch as we are fearful of this future, inasmuch as we are living in the unknown, inasmuch as we need to learn to speak truth to power and bring our values out into the world, so too we must care for one another and appreciate each unique offering to the whole. So too must we remember that greatness comes in all forms, all shapes and sizes, and that the creation of that beloved community means that all gifts are welcome and all gifts are worthy, from $1 million donations to bringing chips to the potluck. And I am serious about that. From marching in the streets to tending to our water rights. From writing a letter to a homebound member to writing a letter to Congress. All of these gifts that bring more beauty, more wholeness, more salve to the brokenness of this world are part of the creation of the beloved community and part of mending the brokenness that we so see and feel right now. This is our calling. No one can tell you what you can do, but you are invited through this community that we create, invited, inspired, informed, to find ways to bring your greatness into the world. May it be so.